and welcome to the For Her Empire podcast. I'm your host, Abby Mwaucha. And in this podcast, we address the personal and the business issues that female entrepreneurs face in their day-to-day lives. My guest, again, you've probably seen her twice already, is Babita Spinelli. Yay!
Hi, Abby. So great to be here again.
Yeah, oh my God. Okay, so if you've watched the first two videos on, first was divorce recovery, the second was narcissism. I keep saying that word so fast, narcissism. Then this one is on career transitions, right? Like careers and all of that. And but Peter is a psychoanalyst, psychotherapist, and a coach. Ooh, triple threat. You just introduce yourself a bit, then we just jump right into it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Abby. So I am, as Abby said, a psychotherapist and a coach. I am in private practice. I also do a lot of consulting around mental health issues as well for organizations, corporations, as well as out in the media. And part of what I do in my practice is I work with individuals on life transitions and the relationship to self, whether that is to others, to themselves, or in the workplace. And as we also know, the personal bleeds the professional, right? Yeah. Et cetera. And so I know today we're focusing on the work around, I do around work and career transitions, which is part of my practice and comes up under my umbrella of things that I work with clients on.
Okay. And why is like career transition such a big thing? I figured like you want a new job, apply for a new job, that's it. Is there any extra thoughts that goes into it?
Oh, yes. It's so meaningful and so rich, this whole space around career transitions. And I can say that also personally, because what I do now is a career transition. I made this career transition from being an attorney and then being in corporate America and then transitioning into being a psychotherapist and a coach. And I would say the reason why it's not so simple is for some individuals, it may not just be around, it's not necessarily about just changing a job, but it's literally about changing their trajectory in their life. So it's about their career path and where they see themselves at. So it becomes a lot more than applying. So it really is looking at it in a more deeper way. And also the steps, which you and I will talk about, lend itself to something that's takes a lot more time.
So like apart from the financial part, what exactly changes when you like change your career, change to something else? I mean, I'm going to assume that maybe if it's far away, there's a commuting part. You might not earn as much anymore. You might not have as much time to spend with your family. Apart from like the normal stuff, what exactly changes?
Sure. So I guess the first thing I want to bring up, it depends on where you are in your life. Okay. For example, if you are someone who is single and it's the earlier part of your career, let's say you're right out of college, et cetera, maybe even out of graduate school, and you end up wanting to do something a little different, that might be a little different than if there's someone who's actually more in their midlife and also has a family. And let's say they're going from one career that's literally, you know, let's say being an attorney to then being a therapist or what have you, right? So those are more bigger jumps. Or someone who, let's say, works at an investment bank and now they decide that they want to start their own not-for-profit and be an entrepreneur. So I would say that the thought behind it is the financial piece is important, and we'll look at that, what that means. But the piece around what stage are you are in your life, and how do you imagine that showing up, and what do you need to do to get there, are the other factors that one needs to look at. And I can dive into what they need to look at.
Yeah, because I was wondering, like, is it really such a big deal? So, like, what are these factors? Like, it doesn't really sound like it'll be. Then again, I'm probably at the earlier side of it. I'm not worried so much about trying new things and jumping around. Plus, I have zero family around me, so I'm not worried about that either.
Yeah, so sometimes it can be really easy, right? And I think the thing about the environment that's taken place very different from, you know, I would say years ago, where, you know, folks in HR, talent acquisition, wanted to just see basically you've been at this one company for X amount of time. Now they like to see change. Oh. But here's the difference with it. We're not talking about a job change. We're talking about a career change. And what that is someone literally doing something different. So there might have had education in one field or had job experience in one field. But what we're doing now is saying either one, the person is like, I want to do something completely different. Or two, I want to translate my skills into a somewhat different field. And how do I convince this future employer that I have the skills, right? Because I've been doing X, Y. So we've got like many facets of this. So it's not so black and white. But yes, I would say earlier on, as you're describing, it's almost easier to jump around.
Yeah, something else. I'll be a chef right now. Just jump into it.
That's great. Actually, can I tell you?
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind going to culinary school.
I would love to be. But I think I would love to for the wrong reasons. Just so I can go like try different food, not actually do anything about it. I just want to be a food taster. That I would love to do. That one.
How great would that be? And you know, that actually has its own trajectory. Did you know it does take a lot of work for those individuals that have switched to go? Yes. It also is to even get into culinary school and et cetera, et cetera. It's not easy.
I just want to eat.
You're like, all I want to do is have good food and taste it.
Yes. So what factors should anyone really consider when doing a career change? I mean, in your case, you went from being like an attorney to corporate and then to psychotherapy. I'm going to imagine like when somebody asks about your background, you're like, I used to be a lawyer. And they're like, what?
Yes. Actually, it's funny because I do get several lawyers and people in corporate that want to do other things that come to me for that reason, because they're like, you did it, right? You know, how did you do it? You did it. So here's a couple of things I would say. I think the first tip I would give is this, is be clear about why you want to make this move. And it doesn't mean that you're going to be able to just know that yourself. I mean, being clear about why you want to make this move. Are you just feeling you're having unhappy moments at your job? And so you're like, I got to do something else. Do you feel though that you've outgrown the space you're in? Do you find you no longer have joy at work? Are you inspired by other things and you're realizing you're just not fulfilled? So the first step is be clear.
Okay.
And if you need to, you know, seek help to gain that clarity, do it. If you need to just read some books about that, you know, just figuring out what that is. Maybe for some people, they spent their entire life doing something that maybe they even thought their parents wanted them to do. Then they're in it. And years later, they are like, why am I doing this? So the first part is be clear. Then the second tip I would say is, once you feel clear that yes, this is something you want to do, take a step back and look at, let's say some people don't know what it is, what their change is. They know generally they want to either be a business owner or do something in a particular field, but they're not sure. Mm-hmm. So I'd say the second step is look at your strengths. Take a little time first to like literally focus on what are my strengths and skill sets? And then what do I find appealing? What are the things that I notice I find appealing? So that would be your second step. Okay. And kind of dive into that space and see what you come up with or get help, you know, that. The third tip would be is once you feel like you've done that second part,
yeah,
is take a look at individuals who you feel inspired by that are in that particular area or field, or have had sort of a similar transition. Sometimes you can see that with people in organizations. Sometimes you could see it on a LinkedIn, et cetera. Start to do a little benchmarking. Once you're clear, once you kind of have a sense of your skill set, okay, start to do your benchmarking.
Okay. And would let's say LinkedIn, will people really be that open to talk about this stuff?
Yes, I think it's like really reaching out to the right people though, and it might take some time. So I would start with looking at individuals that you see maybe do some mentoring, but I would say it never hurts to ask. It never hurts just to be transparent and say, I really admire your work, or I noticed that you're in X role. Do you have 15 minutes to do a virtual coffee with me? I'd love to, you know, be able to talk about it with you and like introduce yourself. And I would say, allow yourself, give yourself permission to do it. There will be someone who bites, like throw the fishing pole out there.
Ask many of them, at least one will answer.
Right.
Okay.
The other, piece, and this is, these are some other tips when people are really have been in a long-term career and they really want to do a big dive, and let's say they have a family and they have to think about their finances, etc. A few important things in that area. Take a step back and look at your financial picture. Don't be afraid of it. If you're with a partner, sit down to say, can this person step up, you know, while I'm doing this, or do I need to maybe juggle both for a while? Look, we all have to put, you know, pay our bills and put stuff on the
table. Yeah, you have to pay itself.
Right? It's not all of a sudden magically. So maybe you have saved for this, which is great. Or maybe you realize you can, or you're okay taking out maybe an educational loan or a small business loan to do what you want to do. But just get a full financial picture and sit down and say, what is this about? And face it. Like, there's a lot of fears that come up around looking at money. So
yeah, don't
really look at it, right? It can be uncomfortable. We don't want to.
Yeah.
And so once you're clear on that, then I would say, if you have a partner, you know, figure out what your next step. If not, figure out your next step to say, for example, let's say you're a single parent. You could say, what do I need to do to start to build on this job that I want, or this career, and take care of what I need to? And so it might mean I'm working my previous job, but I'm taking one or two classes. Or it might mean
supplement that.
Right? Yeah, start networking. And then I'm going to continue this. So your transition doesn't have to, you don't have to feel like it's so drastic.
Yeah.
And then I would say the networking part is very important. So you could spend a lot of time also networking. Once you feel a little clearer, do the networking, reach out to organizations that might be helpful. Start to look at people that are in the field, et cetera. I think building those relationships take a little time. And then you could start to send out your resume or have someone help you do a resume. There's a lot of great resume writers there.
Yeah.
And I sort of help with that a little bit in terms of showcasing how your skills translate into the new job.
Okay. Question, Sufa. So one on the networking side. So let's say you're kind of introverted. How do you go about that then?
Oh, what a great question, because it's often not so easy, right, when you are more of an introvert. So I would say this, if you're an introvert, maybe the first step might be see if there's pick an organization, and sometimes it's easier to be with the pack, you know, and maybe there's like this, for example, there's a lot of women's empowerment sort of groups. Join one of them where they have mentors, and you can work that way. Because a lot of these organizations, there are individuals that hold positions in the areas that you want to work in. And it might be a little bit easier that way, where there's maybe like kind of a virtual meeting and there's not just you, there's other people on it. That helps the introvert to lean in.
Okay.
The other aspect is this, if it's still a little bit of a struggle, I would really work one-on-one with like a coach who can help you find the language and sort of work with you step by step on how you can connect with people. And I find that in that space with individuals that I work with, that's a little bit more helpful. It doesn't feel so daunting. And then every week, it's like, okay, now let's use the language you can use with this person. What does that feel like? And take your time with it. So you could also do it that way. And the third part is for someone who's an introvert, sometimes they may want to do some things that are helpful, like join a local Toastmasters.
Oh, what's Those that? Like toast bread?
Yes, it's great. You know, like it's an international organization and there are local chapters everywhere. And they're doing them virtually now, where you sort of learn how to speak and present. Those kinds of things really help you to bring out like that part of you that kind of has fears. Because at the end of the day, you know, when we're interviewing or networking, we're in some ways kind of presenting ourselves.
Yeah.
Oh. So those are some options.
Okay. And what do you do if, let's say, you have a partner and you have some kids and you're working at, let's say, a managerial or higher position with a significant salary, but then your working environment is kind of toxic and you're just completely done with, like, done with this job, done with this career path, I want something new. But then this is all you've ever known. This is all your experience is... So how do you transition that? Because now we're dealing with all that toxic mentality. You want to change, but you don't really have any experience in anything else. And you have a partner and kids to think of. How do you transition that?
And you have a partner you have to think of?
Yeah.
That is not an unusual circumstance. What you described does happen where you're in a toxic corporate environment or work environment, or let's say you have a narcissistic boss. You know, we were talking a little bit about that in one of our last episodes. So this is, you know, my suggestion in that space. The first part is a lot of times the first part is working therapeutically.
Okay.
First, to be able to transition out of the toxic environment to ensure you're also safe, right? You want to make sure you either get some sort of money that's owed to you perhaps, right? Is there a certain vacation time? Do you want to negotiate severance? Do you want to make sure you have a good referral from someone else in the company?
Oh, yeah, that as well.
Important things in toxic environments, because the transition can often be a little traumatic or becomes very challenging. So I would say the first step is, because you're thinking about your partner too, maybe just be a little bit more intentional on the exit. As much as we all want to take our stuff and run out the door and say, I am so done.
I'm with you.
Like, goodbye. And then we're like, now what do I do?
Yeah.
Right? So I say, just be a little patient. I'm not saying you have to be there forever, but be strategic about it. Okay. Once you've created your transition plan, you can then start to look at how much can I go by, like talk to your partner to say, what can we do in the meantime as I'm looking for another space? Either it might be you may need to look at something that's a similar role, but it's a different corporation, meaning this. You might find the toxic environment has influenced how you feel about your field, but you may actually realize it's because of the toxic environment. So maybe there's other companies that are seen as top companies that have more of a healthy culture.
Yeah.
So I would, right?
Yeah.
Ask around, ask your friends, individuals that are in environments that are in corporations that they really like. And I would say build from there. Say, do you have any openings? Can you look into that? Do you know if there are positions that are available? So once you strategically start to transition out, start to reach out to your connections.
Okay.
And use that as a step, because it can be very holding, right? To kind of know people and you don't know what's out there.
Yeah.
I would then, from that point, work on your resume, go back to like who you can network with. But I would say really look at some of the things that have happened to you in your job and be clear about what made it toxic so that your next move is not something similar. You know exactly what your non-negotiables are.
Okay. Okay. And still on a toxic workplace, how do you get that referral? Because if you are at a particular position and you're applying for a different place, you do need that referral. So how do you do that in a way that your toxic employer or colleagues can still give you the referral without sabotaging you, or at least you're confident enough to actually ask for it in the first place?
Yes. So the first part in terms of confidence is leaning into what might have been self-limiting beliefs that were elevated because you were in a toxic environment. So sometimes toxic environments really impact our confidence. And so I would really look at, okay, remembering who you are, the value of your work, and not letting the toxic environment impact that. When you look at those things and know your strengths, then you could lean into the, let's say, even if there's one colleague that you found that you worked well with and that you may feel that there might be some trust. The second part is this. You may find that that doesn't exist. You may find in your
entire office, not even one person.
And then you're like, what do I do now? So a couple of things there. First of all, when the employer that you're applying with reaches out for a referral, they will only ask who you tell them to ask. They cannot any longer reach out. And let's say your HR, your boss cannot say anything negative about you. That actually is illegal to do that now. You can't do that. Right. You cannot say. Now they can give you a lukewarm, or they can say, I'm not, we found that there wasn't a meeting of the minds. There are ways around it, which still aren't good for you, but they cannot directly say negative things. But you want to have good referrals. So what I would recommend is this. Two things. When you're speaking or interviewing and they ask you for those referrals, you can always say, this was not the corporate culture which fostered growth. And so, my referrals come from X, Y, and Z. You don't need to badmouth the company. You really shouldn't, but you could say that. I would also suggest finding, if it's a bigger company, find someone outside of the department would be very important. Is there anyone in the company, let's say it's a different business line, but you did a lot of great projects for them. Let's say it's a mentor in another department that has a leadership role. Find someone outside of the department, and those referrals can be good enough, and use them as your referral. You can also go back to previous positions, because for many, they don't even give their current position as a referral, because companies, the company may not be aware of it. You may still be in that job, right? So it is very common to not give that particular company name as far as the, a referral from that company, because you're still there.
You're still there.
So
yeah.
Go back to other companies and use those referrals. So there are lots of ways to do that.
Okay. And I guess this ties into the first two on divorce recovery and narcissism. So what do you do if you want to change career choices and then your partner is not very comfortable or supportive with that?
You may have to have some real open communications with your partner to ask them about, what might be some of their fears. Perhaps they have some fears. Can we make it work? How are we going to do this? Maybe both of you have really good salaries and they're worried. So the first part I would say is kind of maybe either do the couple's work or between yourselves to be able to talk it through. And then maybe say what might be a plan to give them some comfort around it. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes when a partner feels that way, when they see and they feel like they're part of it and they see that there's a plan that you're going one step at a time, it helps to alleviate some of their anxiety.
Yeah, around okay.
Move.
Like, it's not a rash decision. You've thought this through.
Yes, and let them participate in ways in terms of you're filling them in. I'm not saying that they have to be part of every single step unless, you know, it depends on your relationship, but in a healthy way,
yeah.
Be able to fill them in and really look at it as a unit to say, this is a unit decision. You could also share with them your recognition of why you feel you're going to be successful in this new career. You can also share about how you've been feeling awfully sad, even maybe even depressed about your current position, and that it's going, that it's affecting or impacting the family, how you feel.
Okay. And what if, let's say, you're in your 40s or 50s and you feel like, okay, I've been in this particular career path for decades. Is it too late to move to something else and start from the scratch? Is it too risky? So what advice would you have for somebody on that wavelength who's thinking, okay, I should just stay here. I might not be fully comfortable with this, but at least it's a safer option. But I'm kind of old right now. Changing might not be the best move. Like, what would you say on that?
I would say we're never too late to change careers. I could tell you that myself. I would also say that try not to jump to the fixed mindset that it can't happen. Allow yourself the room to say, there's still a lot out there that I can do. And there's an author and speaker that I love, Whitney Johnson, who talks about that in terms of innovating yourself and encouraging yourself. So some of us innovate ourselves in our current job. Others, when you're in your 40s or 50s, lean into that innovation that exists within you, because you are someone who's had experience, which is a real gift. And you've probably done a lot of innovation and work and done valuable work in your career path. So take all of that and use that to recognize that you can do it again in another career, and it's not too late. So you have to first shift that mindset and grow from there. A lot of times it can be a little scary. I would say that's a great question, especially during this time of the pandemic of COVID, where there's been a lot of furloughs and people have to switch careers, or sometimes they want to because they're realizing, if not now, when? And they're getting a lot of clarity personally and professionally. So go back to that space. And this is also happening to say, I can do this. I have many years to come. I still have ways that I can make a difference in my life and maybe out in the world.
Oh, okay. And so as we are listing the factors, you talked about networking and talking to a mentor who has sort of transitioned as well and getting advice from them. So I guess after you get the advice, you feel like a bit more confident. Then what's your next step? You just jump in there?
Well, I think confidence is a big thing. And yes, for some people, they're like all ready to jump in. Others, you might dip your toe. So for example, for me, you know, my transition took a little bit of time. I was very almost strategic and methodical about it once I knew exactly what it is that I wanted to do. I definitely leaned into my resources, right? So I worked on recognizing that I was stuck and wanted to shift gears with a therapist. And then I took action in my coaching. And so I think what a person can do is, let's say they have to go back to school, then they're going to start applying to go back to school to do what they want to do, right? So it's a process. For some people, when they've lined everything up, they just start diving into applying for those roles. So I really think that it really depends on the person and where you are and what it is that you want to transition to. So you can take it one phase at a time, or you can dive right in. There is no wrong answer.
How was your transition, though? Like, you went from attorney to corporate to psychotherapist. I'm like, how did that period go? And what inspired that?
Well, I think my first inspiration was I reached a lot of success in my career. And so this is just sort of an overall theme. And then I realized though that I wanted to do more and I wanted to find a way to make more of an impact and difference in the world. I wasn't sure how I was going to marry my legal and corporate experience into a space of where I really wanted to help transform people's lives and help and support them. So I think the first part was, let me go back to your first initial question. First, I was a lawyer and I loved law school, Abby. I loved it. And if there's any of my peers from law school listening to me, you know, I think they'll recognize that I loved it. I was like president of the Student Bar Association in law school. I mean, it was a joy. Now we're talking about, I was also in my early 20s, right?
Yeah.
So I went to law school, but I had a lot of energy and I enjoyed learning. And when I was a lawyer, I was doing first a little bit of traditional law, and I found that very interesting, but it wasn't quite my cup of tea. I still felt like I wanted more. I then transitioned being a lawyer into the corporate world, and I found I liked that better, but I still wasn't
corporate world, how? There. Like a corporate lawyer?
Yeah, corporate lawyer.
Oh.
What happened was, I then, from being a corporate lawyer, I was working with on a matter, and I was asked to actually do some more what's called compliance work and at a big four, at a consulting firm. And so I transitioned into consulting where I could utilize my legal skills on a more global level. From there, which is very interesting, I said, okay, this is good. I like this. I'm like, I realized, wow, it's so interesting. I'm meeting different people. I'm building relationships. I'm helping companies in terms of what are some of their gaps and risks, and I'm helping them fill those gaps and close them. So I thought, oh, I really like this, right? Then I ended up transitioning from doing that in a more healthcare space into the financial space. At that point, I was also going through a personal transition in my life. And I said, I still feel stuck. Like something's not quite right.
Hello, okay.
Like, right? And so I was literally sitting with my therapist and I was describing all of this and she handed me a bunch of books and she said, you'd make a great psychotherapist. Have you thought about it?
Oh.
And I literally, it started from there. And what I decided to do was do a more smooth transition, meaning start to go back into my schooling, what I needed for clinical education, and build from there. And then I dipped my toe, I had a phased approach. I did a lot more stuff around corporate and then I, you know, sort of had my practice and then eventually just did this full time.
No.
So my journey isn't necessarily what everyone's journey is, but I just describe it in that way so people feel that it doesn't mean that it happens overnight, but it also can for you.
Okay.
If that's what you want. Oh.
Do you still do legal consulting or like legal stuff?
I don't officially as a lawyer, but what I do is I'm collaboratively divorce certified. So I do work with clients around, lawyers will refer to me to help with a collaborative divorce coaching space with their clients, you know, to help kind of work through if it's a litigious divorce. I also work with clients on parenting plans and parent coordination in their divorce. What I also do is I work with a lot of companies on mental health in the workplace. So we work on things like burnout. What can they do to actually look at things, for example, like survivor's guilt, if that's coming up in their company. So I coach with a lot of executives and corporations in that space. So that's where I say kind of part of my legal hat comes on, not officially as a lawyer, but that's where I utilize skills, which is what I think helps for people who are listening to say, don't think that anything was a waste.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so huge. And I'm so glad we're anything to waste, even things that you felt completely unhappy with, you're going to find that you've created tools in your basket that you're going to utilize in any field you go into.
And when would you say is the worst time or the wrong reason to transition careers, to transition careers?
That's an interesting question, because for some people, they might answer it like this. They might say, don't have too many changes at once, right?
Nice.
So
don't quit, like right? jump. Right.
Well, meaning the worst time for some people might be, they may say, if you're going through a divorce and moving to another country and you know, doing a job, that's not a good time. I might say this. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I might say, yes, does that make it especially hard? But I'm not saying that that's the worst time. So don't, people shouldn't feel like, oh my God, that means I should never do it. Because a lot of people go through divorce and they are changing careers, or they have to find a job because maybe they were at home with the kids. Oof. I would say this, the worst time might be if you're in a situation where you're really worried about your finances and this is going to be such an extra stressor for you, I would take your time to feel a little bit more comfortable. Make sure you get that in order, meaning, you know, is there a loan you're taking out? Is there support you can get? Do you need to save a little more? I would say check in on that. You know, don't go into bankruptcy if you're doing a career change because you're doing a career change, because at the end of the day, that's mentally going to be very difficult for you.
Yeah.
The other part of it is, the other hardest time is if you are going through a lot of extreme like depression, or first sort out some of the things going on from a mental health perspective and then move into this change. Get the support on the mental health side.
It's probably best to have like a very clear mind before you make this change, so it's not like coming from nowhere, like right now, let's do this.
Yeah, so those might be difficult times. If you feel that you're overwhelmed, let's say you are going through a big change, let's say you are going through a divorce, let's say, and you're feeling extremely overwhelmed, it's okay to take your time and say, I have a different life purpose now or a new chapter, but let me work through this first and then I'm gonna work through this. So you can give yourself an option. If you're okay with it going hand in hand, that's fine. But make sure you have your resources. But if you feel that it's too much, it's okay to take a pause and sort this out and then go into the other. Okay.
The switching countries or switching states, job-wise and life-wise, count as a career change?
Well, I would say it depends. I mean, if you are going, if you're doing the same work in another country, it may not be a career change, but it would be a big expat move, where you're learning about the culture in that particular part of the company, or in that company itself. Like, let's say you're going to a US company that has an outpost in Japan or in France, their dynamics might be very different. So it may not necessarily be a career change, but you might experience certain things you have to learn or do to adjust.
Yeah. Oh. And so you talk about like the worst time to change careers. What like the best time to change careers?
I would say the best time to change careers. I mean, sometimes it's when you really just feel like you're in a great place in life and you are ready to transform. You are just, you have done the work on yourself. You're feeling empowered. You feel prepared. You kind of feel like, okay, I have really thought this through and I am ready. That can be the best time to also change careers. When you're beginning a new chapter in your life can be a best time. You know, other times when people are empty nesters, the kids have gone off to college. They're like, right, like that is taken care of. That's a great time. Or let's say their kids are out of college and started their own lives very fully. That's a great time. People are like, I'm ready to, you know, I've always wanted to be a photographer. I am done. Let's say the example is I've always wanted to be a photographer. I've been done with the 9 to 5. I am good. And, you know, kids are great. Everybody's all settled. That's a great time. So I think there's a lot of different great times. And so you know, everyone has their own unique great time too, but those are just some that I would say I've noticed that come up.
Okay. And let's see. I think that's pretty much my questions. Do you have anything else you want to add?
Yes. You know, when you say that another best time is, it may not feel like the best time, but if a person is feeling really stuck, and you'll see this on my website, I describe my journey. If a person is feeling really stuck and they just know they're not fulfilled and they need to gain some clarity, that also is where they start to think about everything in their life, right? And they may realize that part of it is that they either need to change their where they're working, or maybe they want to do a career change and they really want to look at that. It may not feel like the best time, but it may be an opportune time to look at it. Oh. So I would say that's something else to just really think about. But I would really lean into the also the place of not to allow your fears to get in the way of living your best life. Not to let that happen. It is so hard. That's a really hard, right, place to be, but because it's scary. But, you know, we really, if anything, I think this pandemic has really shown us that it's so important to look at our life and look at possibility. It also has created a lot of fears, of course, in and of itself, too. But, you know, to really like say what do I want my life to be like in 5 years? What do I want my life to be like in 10 years? Sometimes in this space, someone will come to me and they'll say, Babita, I'm like, I'm not really feeling very fulfilled. And I'll be like, okay, well, what's going on in your life? And then maybe we'll narrow it down. And then let's say part of it is the workspace. And let's say we've unpacked, okay, it's definitely not the job for you. We've unpacked, it's not anything you could change, you know, in the job. It's not the job for you. Then I would say, what do you want to feel like? And how do you imagine that 5 years from now? Where do you imagine, what do you imagine your life looking like? And then we re-engineer backwards from there, you know, versus saying, I need to know that this is it. Not necessarily, let's go backwards for a moment and re-engineer from there. So those are some other little tidbits that I think are helpful for people to think about with or without the help.
So you having a clear idea of like where you see yourself in 5 years, or at least how you want to feel in 5 years, you say that's very important in the career change or the career transition process.
Yes. Yeah. So sometimes it may be, as you said, you can almost imagine what that is. You know, I imagine myself X, Y, and Z. Sometimes it's more of a feeling of the life you want to create. I'll give you an example. Someone might say, you know, I imagine myself having flexible hours. I imagine I work maybe 3 days a week. I imagine that I do everything virtually with people all over the world. I imagine that I am making a difference in maybe others' careers. I imagine that I feel very grounded and inspired. So we kind of start with these kinds of spaces and then work backwards from there with the feeling states. Feeling, how does our day look, et cetera? What does our week look like? What does our life feel like?
So like, if I don't have like a very clear picture of like that 5-year plan, what do I do?
If you don't, I mean, my suggestion really is, I think, you know, seek out resources, because sometimes we just need someone to help in that way and to also help us to feel accountable. If that's difficult for a person to do, or they want to do that, but maybe they first just want to think about a couple of things first, I would literally say, order some books online. Sometimes even the most basic books that have come up that are still great, like What Color Is My Parachute? You know, think about, read some of those authors that have inspired on career change and transformation or life plan, and start there if you feel that you're really not sure at all.
Oh, okay. read a book, do all of that. Do you have to friends? Do you have to tell your friends that I want to change career paths so that they can motivate you, or you can do it? Do you have to tell them, mm-hmm. would that help, or maybe keep it to yourself for a bit?
I mean, I would say it really depends on who you are. For some individuals, they want to just sit in a space of reflection for a while and maybe think about it. But I would say sometimes it can be really helpful. Who are your champions, right? Who are the individuals in your village that can say, yes, you know what? You can do this, and I'm here to support you. And I
cheerleader.
Cheer you on. I think that could be a really great thing. I feel that oftentimes maybe they're individuals that you really like what they're doing too. And you'd say, I really love what you do. And it's a friend of yours. Oh my God, that looks so great. And they can shed some light on it. So friends are a great way to be your cheerleader, and as well as maybe give you some insight on possibilities for you if you're uncertain.
Okay.
Even the extended family members who are your biggest cheerleaders. So I would pick the people that you feel you trust and that you know have always encouraged you. And just be mindful of not picking individuals that might be oh, no.
Negative Nancy's.
You can't do it. Or do you remember when you changed something last time? What happened?
Oh, my God, who says that?
I mean, sometimes it's good because you got a little dose of reality there, but I would say find the balance. Uh-huh. Someone who's be truthful with you, but also cheer you on and say, you know what? I think you can do this. You got this.
Okay. Woo! All my questions. Anything I should have asked or anything you want to add?
I feel we've really covered it. I would say, one step at a time, and, let your inner champion come out, and you can do this, and not be afraid to try. We're all just walking each other home, not to be afraid to try.
And so if someone wants to transition careers, because I know I was on your website earlier when I learned about blended families for the first time.
Interesting, right?
Yeah. And I saw there's a virtual teletherapy online counseling. So if someone wants to work with you on career transition, maybe they're not in America, which is where you are, do you adapt for that?
Yes, thank you for bringing that up, Abby, because I am launching a new website. So I have a company, Babita Spinelli Group, that does a lot of coaching and consulting, and a lot of that comes up that has just been sort of through my LinkedIn and people reaching out, et cetera. But my new website will really outline things of that nature. So I would say right now, you can go to my LinkedIn. They can reach out there. Just look up my name, Babita Spinelli, and you could message me through that. It really outlines some of the work that I do with people in the career space. Mm-hmm. You can also still go to my website, Opening the Doors Psychotherapy, and there's a contact form, mm-hmm. and just fill it out. I do have a coaching arm, and so it'll filter through that for now while the new website is being launched. Okay. And the other way is just email me, babitaspinellilp@gmail.com, pick up the phone and call me. I also have an Instagram that's just for coaching. So my Instagram for therapy is Babita Spinelli Therapy. My Instagram for coaching is Babita Spinelli @BabitaSpinelli. Hmm. So those are the ways, I know that was a mouthful, but those are the ways out to me, where we will just focus on career coaching internationally, and it's just on the coaching side, not the therapy side.
Okay. For those listening to this, the Instagram handles and the LinkedIn would be in the description. If you're watching this, the LinkedIn would be in the video itself, as well as in the description.
Ooh. Thank you for doing that. Perfect. has been great. I mean, you've asked me, you know, some great questions, and hopefully I've provided, you know, enough meaningful answers, but I'm always, you know, open to, you know, answering more questions in the future, or if anybody wants to, you know, reach out and they have more questions for me, happy to do that.
Yay! It's nice having you for 3 episodes.
Glad, this was so great. I loved this series.
Yeah.
And everyone, you know, was able to really like watch all of them, because in some ways they can bleed into each other.
Well, at least now you know what to do if I get divorced. speaking of which, like, I don't know if it's a personal question, but like, you are divorced. Is that what inspired the divorce recovery?
Yes, I was divorced. Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay, another personal question. Like, does that relate to the divorce recovery part? Where, like, I went through this, people need to know about this as well.
Well, part of it is some of the personal phases that I think were helpful in really building that resilience. I feel the other part is a lot of it is also based on my education and my clinical work in the space and some of the things that I bring in to that space. So I would say it's a combination of both, that bringing in the personal, but also bringing in the expertise and the clinical experience.
You look amazing, divorce or otherwise. So clearly something went right.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. You too.
It was nice having you here.
Wonderful to have you here. And I am really glad that we did this. Thank you, Abby.
Yay, me too.
Bye. Bye.